Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. It's been a while, but there's been a coronavirus and all kinds of other crazy stuff going on. The economy is going nuts. Could fuck up a lot of retirement plans. But not really if you're still out. Think of it as the stocks are dropping, you can buy more. And the stocks that you're gaining on, they will eventually rise at some point. It's if you're retiring now, then you gotta think about what to do. But it's a scary time. And hopefully I'm not getting sick. But Colorado Springs, we have only two cases so far. But those two cases to lead to four could lead to eight, and then it goes exponentially depending on who those people are in contact with. And I think Colorado as a whole has 75, 74, 75 cases. It's growing about by 50% every day. So, it went from 30 to 80, and then, I imagine by tomorrow it'll be double that, and then double that, and then double that. And there have been no deaths, I don't think. Or maybe there have. Let me see what my wife texted me. She texted me the statistics this morning. They might be out of date as of 3:13, Friday the 13th. She said, there are eight in the hospital and three critical. So I imagine critical doesn't mean very good. But I applaud the cities and businesses that are trying to protect situation from growing, NCAA, sporting events, all that. It's just doing a lot of devastation to the markets, and people are losing their jobs because they can't go to work at Disney World or Disneyland or Universal. They're all closed. Everything's closed. The theaters are still open, but I imagine people are going to be cautious to go to the theaters. I'm even debating whether to go to see Bloodshot this weekend. I'm siding on not. The reason I'm more concerned is not because if my parents were here, if I lived where my parents were, I'd be really more concerned. Because then I can take it and then bring it home to them or to Barbara's family. But we're not there. But I am asthmatic, and I don't know if that contributes, to like respiratory degradation when you get this or not. I just know it acts a lot faster than the flu. It seems a lot more contagious. Yes, there's more deaths from the flu, but a lot is unknown about this thing. And some people might be carriers and not even know they have it. I was recently watching V Wars, which was a book, I think, by Jonathan Mayberry, but it also became an IDW comic book, which I'm familiar with. And I just finished I'm Not Okay With This, which is a Charles Forsman comic book. Which was absolutely incredible. That took me like no time to watch, and I was like, what's the next thing I'm going to watch? And I could go back to the CW shows, which I just finished wrapping up the Crisis on Infinite Earths, or I could jump to something else. And I was like, hey, V Wars, and it's kind of appropriate because V Wars is about a prehistoric virus that they find in, like, I think in Antarctica or somewhere in the Arctic, and in this case, it was really weird because a doctor went up there to investigate why they couldn't have contact with anybody, and he found dead bodies and immediately noticed there was some type of infection. So him and his buddy were the only ones up there. They quarantined themselves. But the quarantine, they said, you're free to go after, I don't know, it was a week or so that they were under quarantine and they started to feel better. But one of the guys was manifesting like acute senses, like he could hear things outside the wall. He developed this really acute sense of taste and smell, and something was going on. I don't know why the doctor is not getting it, but it turns out to be a virus and a very lethal one because it turns people into bloodthirsty, strong vampires. And I don't know why some people are immune, but some people are immune. It's probably like this current virus. But it's interesting to watch. I don't want to get sick. There's nothing worse than being sick, especially having asthma, because not being able to breathe is awful. Like it's just an awful way to go, and I don't want any of that. And then you're also, by quarantining yourself, kind of are limiting your social contacts. You're helping others because there are a lot of older people that can't have it, and a lot of people with compromised immune systems and cancers that could get killed because of this virus. It's going to be a scary time. Like, I don't remember it being this scary since like 9/11 when things were closing all over the place. But I think this is going to have a lot more length to it. Most places are asking people to work at home, which causes another people to lose jobs that work at the buildings, like facility people and stuff, because they're not getting paid because the facility shut down. And there's just all kinds of ramifications, and they stop going out to eat, they stop buying stuff they can't afford, and that causes jobs and stuff to go, and all these big events that bring in dollars to places, they're all not happening. So, I mean, just think of the NCAA and betting in Vegas. I mean, I can't imagine the market they're losing in gambling and ticket sales and seats and food and vendors and people that work the stadiums. It's incredible. But it's almost like a comic book come to life. You know, there's a lot of post-apocalyptic comic books in various different states. Like, I was reading a fabulous comic book called The Clock, and this comic book is sort of a cancer that just hits people at an accelerated rate and kills them. And it goes by the theory because the writer, he has been going to like medical conferences and stuff and trying to find out a lot of information about cancer. And he asked at a conference, this is real back matter, you know, can you weaponize cancer? And it's like, that's like a weird thing to ask. You know, the FBI might be on your ass, but, he asked it, and a couple doctors told him, in theory, you can, and this is kind of what you would do. So it's terrifying, you know, because it could be a weapon, you know. It's awful, you know. You think about all this shit, but hopefully this will pass. And it won't be like the flu every year. We have to deal with the flu and the coronavirus. Hopefully it'll die. But I put a request out for questions, and I don't think I got any but one. So I thought I would talk about that. It's from Dallow Spicer. And he asks, you're stuck on a desert island for 1 week, just 1 week. You can take five trade paperbacks with you. What do you take? That's hard because I'm a day-to-day mood reader, but I would definitely take a Silver Surfer Epic Collection because he's my character of the year. I would finish reading my Edgar Rice Burroughs DC Tarzan trade because that's my other adopted character. And I would like to take some Legion of Superheroes trade or hardcover, one of those, just to get up to speed. And that's my weak area. I think it'd be fun to read some Legion. It's my weak area, but it's kind of not. Anything contemporary prior to, I don't know, the 90s, I have and I've read, but everything before that I haven't. So that's the stuff I would like to read. I would take like my a Golden Age Superman omnibus because I've sort of been in the mood for Superman. And I'd probably take a any of the trades I haven't read from TKO. I've only read two of them, Goodnight Paradise and Sarah. So I would take any of those that I have stockpiled here and just give it a read. Probably from the first wave because I remember liking the Western one when I read the first issue to sample it quite a bit. So that's what I would take. Did I answer four or five? I think if I had one more, I'd probably take some Valiant trade. Probably the XO Matt Kent omnibus, because I am that far behind. I started the Matt Kent Giario, or that last volume, I think is called XO 2018 or 2017, in the Indices volume. Because I've only read like the first few, and it'll give me a chance to get caught up on XO. So that's what I do. And you asked one more question, if I can find it. What's been the best decade for DC Comics so far? That one's tough to answer, and I'm not going to. I'm going to say every decade I like for a different reason. And again, I love DC. Like, DC is where my heart is. DC is the one company that if I cut back everything, I will stay with DC. If I only could get one comic book, that comic book would be a DC book. I just think I just love the history. I love the change in every decade. I just love everything about it. And the older I get, the more addicted to the books I get. And in other words, I love adapting. I love the roller coaster. 5G, New 52, change it. I like the ups and downs. I like to see it all. So I can't answer the decade. For the decade of Marvel, I probably could answer. I think the era that that I personally like to navigate to is the Bronze Age. I think those Bronze Age creators were in my wheelhouse. I like the way they told stories. I like the art more. I like the fact that there were a lot of monster books as well as superhero books and westerns that I could diversify that Marvel lineup. And I tend to enjoy everything in that decade. I guess in the 70s to the 80s is probably the biggest influential part for me personally. So thank you, Dallo, for the questions. I may have a few more from a long time ago that I didn't answer, so I'm going to see if I have those. And I do have a few. And I may have answered this, I may have not. But I don't think I have because I've been deleting these as they go on. Kirk asked, if Marvel buys Dark Horse, what would you want the first order of business to be? If Marvel buys Dark Horse. They've lost a lot of their properties lately. But I wouldn't want them to combine. Every time Marvel acquires anything, they fuck it up. Okay? They fucked up CrossGen. They fucked up Ultraverse. Anything that they acquire kind of gets sucked into their world and then never used again. So I don't like the idea. But I guess if they were going to revive anything and I was an editor and I could control it, I would do the Comics Greatest Worlds, their superhero universe, and bring them back. Because that's like what I remember. I wouldn't want them to touch like Black Hammer. I want Black Hammer to be its own thing. I want them to let Jeff Lemire play in his playground and leave him the fuck alone. Aliens and Predator, just leave them the way they are. Hellboy, same thing. I don't want them combining things. I don't mind crossover like a one shot here and there, but I'd kind of like them to leave them alone. But they won't. They'll say, "Oh, we bought it." They'll just pile it over here. I think DC's much better at acquiring something and then using their properties, like the quality characters, Plastic Man and Freedom Fighters come up from time to time, Black Hawk, stuff like that. Shazam, he's being used, and he was Fawcett. The Charlton characters are used from time to time and appear in a lot of books. So I would prefer it be DC, but there's my bias. Kirk said, "Is there a book you traded away that you wish you still had?" Yes, my friend Edward, his father gave him a suitcase of Silver Age key Marvel books that are worth a fortune, and I traded like 30-cent comics for these 12-cent comics. And I read them and I'm like, fuck this, when I was a kid. These comic books suck compared to the new stuff. So I traded them away almost as soon as I read them and got them. Whereas some of the other ones I'd want to read and reread and reread. I would have changed that decision and kept all of those 12 cents ones that went through my hands. There were a lot of Silver Age first appearances. He didn't have an amazing fantasy that I remember, but he had like Hulk One and the first appearance of Doctor Strange and Nick Fury, Agent of Shield, Daredevil, all kinds of keys. I mean, it was an incredible collection, early edition issues of Fantastic Four and Amazing Spider-Man, and yeah. Kirk also asks, what is the first wall book you remember buying? I don't, because I don't remember ever buying a wall book until, like, when you say wall book, I don't include the ones that are in like back issue bins. A wall book is something that a shop puts. I would say I bought my first one when I was well situated and out of college and here in the Springs, and I bought a lot of wall books. The best wall book I bought was Batman number 3, volume 1. I could tell you the best one. I just can't tell you what the first was. I just don't remember. I don't have that good of a memory. And as I get older, I keep forgetting shit. Chris Pfeiffer says, when kickstarting, do you tend to back the minimum book level or vary by what is offered at the higher tiers? If you vary, is it the creators or product that drives it? Kickstarting, I usually back the minimum level if it's a issue or graphic novel, with the exception of if it's something that I'm interested in and it's like issue 4, then I might want to get the bundle that has 1, 2, and 3 in it, so I'll have the whole run. And I've done that a lot with Evolutionize comics. I like what their products are, and I try to be all in with those Kickstarters. And then also Palmiotti and Gray, they don't publish things together, but when they do publish a Kickstarter, I'm all in, and I usually get, sometimes I'll get the signed Amanda Connor exclusive Kickstarter. Sometimes I won't. That those are usually limited, so if I get there early enough and I think it's worthwhile, I'll do it. I sometimes do the art packages with From Blood. I've been doing the Zach cut, where he does the he'll draw on the cover, and I'll get those commissions. I know Ron, I think Ron Randall does his stuff for Trekker, and I bought a couple of commissions of his. I don't always do them, but I'll get those higher tiers at the 100 layer and get a commission sketch. But most of the time, it's the lower tier. I'd say 80% of the time, it's the lower tier. But that's a good question. What? Kyle, so I should mention that Kirk is my co-host on the DC Everything Else podcast. Kyle is a co-host on the DC Spotlight. He needs to take a hiatus for a while to get some things in order, but we should be back with that soon. And I'll probably do the next DC Spotlight by myself. But just wanted to give you a heads up on that. And Chris Pfeiffer is just a cool dude. And Dallo's also a very cool dude who loves Valiant. He's very invested in that universe. I think I met Dallo when I was doing the, at least through social media, doing the Valiant podcast, which was a lot of fun. Chris, I don't think I've ever met, but he has done me a lot of solids by sending me stuff. The last thing I remember him sending me was the first, I don't think it was the first edition, but it was the first edition of the reprint that I think the one they did originally was at a, was only like 1,000 copies because it sold terribly. But then I think they went to Eclipse or one of those providers. I can't remember which publisher it was, and they'd cat and mouse. That one was a really good issue. A matter of fact, I have in my queue to buy the whole cat and mouse, and I did kickstart the cat and mouse, and then bought another issue too from on the newer release of that volume. On the print on demand Indie Planet. So I have issue 1 and 2, and I've read those, and then I read the one that he gave me. So that was really cool. What else? Oh, the other thing, okay, that Kyle asks, what is the best snack pairing with an ice cold Cheerwine? Well, he already knows what my favorite beverage of choices when I'm podcasting or drinking or just decompressing from work, and that's Cheerwine. I think it's a soda that relaxes me, and I think it's a Carolina soda, and I could buy it here, but I usually get it, have to go to Ace Hardware, believe it or not, or a soda specialty shop. I hear Cracker Barrel carries them now, but That is one of my favorites. What is a good snacking beverage? What is the best snack pairing with cheer wine? Almost everything goes with cheer wine. I can't even think of what my preference is because I think everything goes with cheer wine. If it's a snack, I want it to be something more like a chip or something rather than something sweet, because you already get like that sweet flavor. But if you know what's really good is ice cream and cheer wine to make yourself a float. That's a delicious damn soda. So those are the questions. The other thing I've been doing recently, I've been getting a lot of comics, mostly new stuff lately, not a lot of old. I completed, well, I'm getting close to completion, I should say. I got the first appearance of Master of Kung Fu, Shang-Chi, and I got most of the collection. So all I have left of Master of Kung Fu is probably the later issues. I got the first appearance, second appearance, and then all that early stuff, thanks to Reed and an eBay purchase and another Twitter a guy who saw my tweet about Master Kung Fu and says, "You want to make a deal on this number first appearance?" And I was like, "Sure." And I was a little cautious, but then he said, "Well, I deal with Kirk a lot." So I talked to Kirk and he says, "Yeah, you can trust this guy." And that purchase turned out to be good. But the only other thing that I've been doing, I kind of tweeted that I wasn't going to be all in on this bad idea, but I'll be honest with you, I'm still looking for an option that's fairly cheap. I haven't found one yet. Sorry. But I'm still looking. I'm looking for an option where I could spend $4 on the comic and then have it ship monthly. So if Bad Idea ships 4 books monthly, then I would just get those 4 books and pay for shipping that's $5 or less. So what I'm shooting for is something under $10, which is your standard Kickstarter project, but trying to go under if I can. And they announced the stores that were supporting Bad Idea. None were in Colorado Springs. It wasn't DCBS. My other hope was that it would be Cowabunga because I deal with them for a lot of specialty comics like TKO and Sight Comics. So I was like, oh, that would be good. I'd have all my specialty comics ordered from Cowabunga, but they didn't make the list. So I'm kind of searching around. But I want it to be easy and online. I don't want to like have to give my credit card over the phone or something. I would like a an interface to a trustworthy site where I could put my card in and say, "Ship me all, you know, ship me the bundle of a Bad Idea." I don't need to ask for any other com. One guy said, "Oh, you can order Bad ID comics, but you have to order 5 other comics from me per month." So I think what that means is a total of 6 comic books at $4 each. So, you know, spend $25 with me, and you can subscribe. Over time, I'm sure that would be easy if Bad Idea builds the library to 5 comic books or 6 comic books a month. But it already sounded like they were keeping it low, like to a book or 4 at max at any one time, you know. So you wouldn't even meet this guy's store. It's like, well, that's some bullshit. Because most people have their own stores, so I wouldn't go to that guy. But I've been talking to a few stores, just trying to get estimates and I even thought, well, maybe I can go to Time Warp because Time Warp exists in Boulder. So let's say theoretically I visited my brother once a month. Well, that's not true. I visited him once every 3 months. But let's say if I went that route, Maybe I could work out a deal where my brother picks up my comics, and then when I go see him every third month, I can go grab them, and then I don't have to pay shipping. That's an option. But then I wouldn't. I don't know if it matters if I'd have them. But I haven't talked to him about that option. That might be an option. And then there's I want some comics shop that's in Denver. I actually been there before because there's a friend of mine that used to run a comic convention in Denver. His name is Jason Page, and I still chat with him from time to time on Facebook or Twitter, one of those. But we had become close. I don't remember if it was podcasting. He did a podcast with his friend. I think his name was Charles, but I don't remember his friend's name, and I don't remember the podcast. But I was podcasting at the same time. We listened to each other's podcast and shared things. And there was one time, it was weird. He said, "Can you meet me at?" He knew I was going. I can't remember if I was going on a business trip or if I was going to visit my brother. And he says, "Well, can you stop by and meet me at I Want Comics?" And I was like, "Sure." Well, it's funny because we never met there because he called me later and said I can't make it at that time, so I didn't see him. But I did go to the shop. It was a nice shop. Matter of fact, when I did meet him, God, I can't remember when it was, because Comic Fest used to be part of Star Fest. For those of you that know, Star Fest is much bigger than Comic Fest. Comic Fest was like in one hotel room across the street from Comic Fest. I mean, from Star Fest. Star Fest was big. It was a big hotel, and they'd bring all over like all the Star Trek actors and have vendors for all kinds of things, sci-fi, and then they have a small Comic Fest and have local comics. I did get to meet Fiona Staples there and a couple other creators. Matter of fact, I got a picture with Fiona Staples and I can't even think of her name now. I gotta find it. That's gonna drive me nuts. Madame Xanadu artist, and she does Moon Girl and Devil Dino. No, not that. What does she do? Yeah, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. I think she kicked off. Amy Reeder. So I have a great picture from Comic Fest with me and those two. And Jason Page is the one that actually hooked me up because his wife took the picture, and she was a professional photographer, so the picture actually came out pretty good. That's where I met Lila Sturgis the first time, and Barb really was good to meet Lila. At that time, he was Matt, but she's Lila, and she was a big fan of Jack of Fables. So they had like enough creators there that it was a good time. But that I think that sort of dissipated ever since Denver Comic Con took over. That's been the big convention there. But I forgot where I was going. I was talking about like trying to get a hold, but I Want Comics offer is one of the stores selected for the. So I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at some East Coast alternatives if I can get cheap shipping. But I'm sort of looking at if I could spend $8 a month on a comic, then I would be willing to do it. But if it goes like really high, then I'm a little more hesitant because I don't know how frequent their shipping will be, or if like the Matt Kent book, ENIAC, is going to be 4 issues and then something else will take over for it, and then it'll be hard to like have a bundle. I don't know what their paradigm. I know they have a bunch of books in the queue. I just don't have release dates or what. It's such an inconvenience. I really wish they chose somebody that that already had in their capacity a massive shipping distribution like DCBS. They did choose the New York shop. Oh, I forget what they're called. I wanted to say Mile High, but Mile High is not it because they're in Denver. But Midtown, they chose Midtown. So they have a presence and a service for sure. I guess that could be a route. I just like to consolidate things if possible. So I was hoping now that I'm really consolidated and don't have an LCS and I'm 100% DCBS, I would love to have it go there, but my second alternative would be Cowabunga. And they're going to have a great bunch of creators. But at the same time, I'm like, if I miss it, I have a compulsive disorder where I just want everything when it comes to comics. But if I don't think about it and I can't easily access it, it might be easier for me. So if that makes any sense, like I wasn't going to get into Sight Comics if it wasn't for Cowabunga. Because that is one where you have to convince your retailer. It's so much work. I'm a lazy consumer, okay? I work a lot of hours. I don't want to have to work at getting my books. I am a lazy consumer. I want them sent to me. I want ease of use. I get pissed if I can't get something. I like it to be accessible. So, I get frustrated with like Geomancer comic book that was you had to order like specialty because it was one of those weird situations. I was very frustrated with that when Valiant did that. I don't like having to jump through hoops. I don't mind not getting a variant. Like if Geomancer had this 1 in 100 variant offered this special way, and I could just get the regular edition. I don't give a shit about that. But I like to be an all-in kind of guy. Like, I want to know everything that happens in the universe. I don't want to be missing X. It drives me fucking batshit. And with Marvel and DC, I'll never have everything, but I can get damn close, especially to DC, at least from 1973 up. But, yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing. I still have an episode of the DC Everything Else. We actually recorded on a weekday for that to release and a Geek Brunch. So they'll probably be coming out this weekend. This one will come out probably first because oh no. The first coronavirus death has been reported in Colorado. The woman who was in her 80s with underlying health conditions died in El Paso County. Oh, shit. Ugh, that's so hard. But, yeah, I got distracted, see? It's a coronavirus. Very scary. Sorry, I'm making a deal with Facebook auction. I love doing this Facebook auction, but it's such a pain in the ass. And this guy's always demands you pay within 48 hours, and then he has another auction, and then it's just you have to pay for that bundle and then the other bundle. And what I'd really like is like the Aaron Myers thing where I just, oh, I want this, I want this, I want this. Okay, ship. I want this, I want this, I want this, ship. That's what I like. I got, sorry about that. That's one inconvenience about the Facebook auctions. But I just want to close out my order now, 'cause I don't like having to. It seems like it's easy. You have to on the Facebook auction, they post a bunch of pictures, okay? So you have this. But you have to scroll and then see older posts, see older posts, see older posts, see older posts, so you could see all the different comics. And then they start usually low, like at a dollar. So you go, well, I'll do three or I'll do four. I need this Wolverine issue or whatever, blah blah blah. And then more than half the time you're outbid, and it's not like eBay where you get a notice and say, hey, you better go up back in there. It's not that convenient. I lose a lot of shit, like by a buck, because he's been posting a bunch of old Wizard magazines, and I was fucking stupid for throwing out my magazines like Wizard, because they're just history gems. They're just like previews. I used to throw them out, and now I don't. And when I see them available, I want to get them. Here's another funny story. We recently went to Boulder, and we hadn't been there in a long time because of illnesses or weather, mostly weather. The couple times we were going up, the weather was really bad, a lot of snow, and we didn't want to drive up there. But we hadn't even delivered our Christmas gifts to my brother. That's how long it's been. And he didn't go to Albuquerque like we did. So we took up the Christmas gifts and the birthday gifts for my nephew and niece. It wasn't her birthday, but she got her Christmas gifts, and we usually get them a lot of stuff. And then we give them some money for their college fund, and Barb wrapped the gifts, or she got them out of the bedroom. But she didn't know is that she took one of my toys and put it in with my nephew's. And it was something that I loved, but I didn't like. I just like texted her later, and I texted her while we were at my brother's. I said, "You just gave Presley my my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle black and white edition with the original comic book series," and I didn't want to like take it back, you know. But I did tell my brother, I was like, "Don't let Presley read this comic book." Because it is more adult oriented in the violence, because it has the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But it was a funny story. But the other thing my loving wife did is she was like, I didn't make a big deal of it. I was just like, oh man, I was disappointed. But you know what? I would have never bought this anyway if we weren't it. We had flown out of Denver somewhere, and we went to a Walmart, and it just happened to be there one time. And that was just a random thing where I ever found it in a. I just pretend that never happened, and it doesn't bother me. But you know what my wife did? She found it and then had it shipped, and it arrived yesterday. So now I have my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle black and white original comic book series, 35 years of TMNT. So I was happy to get that. But that's just a little sidebar. I don't know if Dwan, who's I collect Valiant on Twitter, hears this. I don't know if he listens anymore, but if you do listen, Dwan, I just wanted to thank you for offering me an opportunity, or you were looking for the Megaton Explosion, which is the first Youngblood comic book I already have the first Youngblood appearance, the ad, in RAM, and he's like, "Oh, do you want to get that?" And he looked for me, so I really shout out to Dwan. Also want to do a shout out to Aaron Bell, because before I started poking around, and I was like, I'm gonna be out on. I get frustrated with this bad idea, even though it's a good idea. It's a bad idea, just because of inconvenience. But he offered me a deal if he was able to get him, and just a shout out to you. If I do end up getting them, I will let you know, so you keep them or you sell them, because I know you're a digital guy and you can't get these things digitally, but you want to read these stories just as much as I do. I don't need to get the things right away either. Like, it comes out, I don't ever read anything on time. But I think that's enough of my chitter chatter. I will get back to the weekly reads. So I just need to sum up some totals, and I will be back in a little bit. Be right back. All right, we are back with the weekly reads. Totals are calculated. So we're going to January 20th through January 26th. We'll start with the totals. We had 1 Charlton, 8 DC, 9 Marvel, 1 Seven Seas, 1 Scout, 2 Vault, for a total of 22 comics that week. 1 movie, gave it a 4 out of 5. It was a horror movie, Curse of La Llorona. ¿Dónde está mi hijitos? She is the woman who drowned her kids in the tale, in New Mexico. I wasn't really told her tale the way it was here. I was told a tale that was passed on, that they were trying to not get their kids to go near the ditch because they didn't want their kids to drown. We had a ditch near us. So parents and stuff would say, if you're there at night, the La Llorona will come and take you away. She drowned her kids over there, and she's looking for you. And when I was a kid, it scared us. And as kids, we were stupid. You'd listen to your parents, they say, "Oh, parents are bullshit." But the one time I remember is three of us, maybe it was four of us, including my brother, went down to the ditch, and we're like, "Ah, there's no La Llorona." But we were there, and it was like pitch dark, and we heard something like walking towards us, and we just shit and we ran. I was like, "Ah!" We never went back to that ditch again. So yeah, the La Llorona, 4 out of 5. It was an enjoyable movie to watch. I think this is the Curse of La Llorona. There was another La Llorona movie that came out in the 90s, I think, and I haven't even watched it yet. I know I have the DVD though. I bought it when I was buying those 8 films to die for. Initially, I was just all in. I want all the 8 films. I'll watch them. I'll see which one's the best. But around that time, I'd go to Blockbuster and just look for their dollar bin or whatever they want to get it rid of. And I remember buying La Llorona. I just never watched it. But this was the new one, Curse of La Llorona. So that was a story you didn't need to hear, but you did anyway. So we'll start at the comics. At the bottom, we have Ruby, and it's spelled RWBY. It's based on I think a game or animation, and that's DC Comics. It introduces Ruby and her family of fighters and a world in which they live in. It's kind of a slow start, but I liked it. 3 out of 5. The other 3 out of 5, I think, started out better. I almost made a 4 out of 5, but it didn't like end well, at least with me. But it was She-Hulk Annual Number One. It's Machine Smith places Bullseye body in She-Hulk's while she is stuck in a machine. So it was kind of an interesting story, and I liked it. It was just an annual. They released it around the time a Moon Knight annual came out. A bunch of characters. I think it was called the Axe of Vengeance annual line. So it's a fairly current one. I think it came out in 2019. We then have the four out of fives. We have Batman's Grave 2 through 4. So these are really enjoyed. Batman is trying to find out who murdered someone, and the plot is getting deeper and deeper than you would imagine. And there may be many parties involved. He tracks the villains down to a doctor who injects himself with the chemical. There's actually a scene in there where it looks like he's trying to jab the syringe into Batman's neck, but the way the artist depicted it, Brian Hitch, it almost looked like it hit him, but it didn't. And then he injected it into himself, and I think this injection was causing them to become like super powered and not have like they couldn't feel pain and all kinds of weird stuff. But it appeared like when he injected himself, when Batman was there and he was fighting the others, that he hurt himself, like he killed himself. There was some really great banter between Alfred and Bruce, and this is a Warren Ellis story. Really good. We have Ghost Manor number 17 from Charlton Comics. It's a story about a Hopi doll and how the doll haunts a white man that wants to give zero benefits to the Native Americans in Washington. This was a really good story and really appropriate and showed like this guy was a racist motherfucker. And he was with his wife in a store as he was like he got paid to go visit the reservation, and he basically came back and told a bunch of lies on what he saw so he didn't have to give him money. But while the wife was there, they were in a store and she wanted to buy a Hopi doll, and she bought the Hopi doll, but that Hopi doll sort of haunted him, and then he eventually got so scared and everything that he took the Hopi doll back and then said to the government, "Yeah, we need to fund these guys." So it was an interesting story. We had a story about a really old sea captain who's robbed of his safe contents, but there's nothing in it but candy. It's like his crew was always watching him open the safe, and this guy was going broke, this poor captain. He was like in his 70s or 80s. He couldn't retire. And they wanted to steal everything to him. And then there's a story about an old man that there's a guy trying to offer him money for his house for like a nursing facility. And he's an old man and lost his wife many, many years ago. And he's haunted because he lost her. He really did lost her. And the ghost of his wife is in that house. And he was always looking for her. It turns out that in the past, when he was younger and they were married, she fell into the well there and they never found her body. But that same nurse, he ended up shooting the guy on his property. That same nurse nursed this guy back to health, and she's a ghost. That man ended up, when he was shot, she sort of brought him back, and then they got him to sign the papers, and he sort of made that hospital there at that guy's house. I guess the guy went to the hospital and I think he passed on. But that's a kind of a sad story, an ironic story. We had Ghost Rider number two. This is the brand new Ghost Rider that's out right now. Johnny is trying to take more and more demons to hell, but at what cost? He's kind of like the guy who's running hell right now. He does not seem to care anymore. And then Lilith is brewing up a revenge. Danny goes to Ghost Rider to try to stop Johnny, but Johnny strips out. the spirit of vengeance from him, so Danny Ketch no longer has a spirit of vengeance. We have Metal Men by Dan DiDio. Really good series, 4 out of 5. Doc Magnus has kept a huge secret that the responsometer is linked to his personality and does not really keep the robots alive. Like, they think they're alive, like, all the time, but they pass on and then he just builds another one and they think they were alive. Well, one of the robots sort of finds the truth. Gold finds out what is going on and tells the other Metal Men. So that's how issue one ended. We have Combat 33. This was, I didn't even take credit. I did take credit for this, but under the wrong publisher. This was Adele. So I got to take away one from DC, make that a 7, and then add Dell and add 1. But Combat 33. This was a story of the Perth was not damaged during the Battle of the Java Sea, but it was torpedoed and sunk by an Imperial Japanese Navy at the Battle of Sunda Strait immediately afterwards, and this was the story of that. It's told like you're reading a documentary, though. It's not like a GI Combat story or something like this. This is like you're reading the actual story of what happened on that ship. And I think it actually had actual one of the characters in that was actually on that ship and helped tell that story. It was really interesting, a war comic. We have Songs of the Dead 2 and 3. This is from Vault. It's the prequel to Necromancer's Map. And I have to go out of my way to find it because I think I had issues 2 and 4, so I had to acquire 1 and 3. And this is 2 and 3, and the necromancer's partner is always drunk and stirring up trouble as they go looking for more necromancers. Meanwhile, there is a second group that is hunting down necromancers to destroy them. Our hero turns the town against the secret organization, and that secret organization that's hunting the necromancers flees. So that's how it ends. This made me it's a really well done prequel, and I say it's a prequel to Necromancer's Map because I read them out of order, but it really came out before Necromancer's Map. I read Necromancer's Map and I thought I had Songs of the Dead, but I didn't even know they were related. Like, you can't tell from the title. And I read it and then I was like, oh, there's a prequel? I mean, there's a comic book and I had to go get them out of the long boxes. And then I found out I was missing 2 issues, and I'm like, fucking egg. I don't think that's a saying, fucking egg. It's fucking A, I think it is. I haven't said that in a long time. Hopefully you're not listening with your kids in the car. But this is an explicit podcast. So the next one we have is Red Winter. This is a scout. This is the murder of a Russian family. Was not from the rivals, but from America, the American son, who's the main character in this book, and another Russian. He is then trying to protect his son, but he is stabbed, and the enemies know that his son is involved, so he's in trouble. We have World's End Harem, and this is from Seven Seas. I think they also go by a subprint of Ghost Ship. I'm not sure. But this is a manga. And this is my favorite manga to date. Actually, it's not my favorite. It's my favorite post-apocalyptic manga. No, because that would be the Drifting Classroom. So I've read the Drifting Classroom. This is my second favorite. But I really liked it, so I went and procured 3 more volumes of it. But it's a young man who falls in love. It's kind of like Why the Last Man. He falls in love with a woman, but has to go into cryo sleep because of a rare disease. When he awakens, he finds that an M virus has wiped out most males on the population. He is brought back to life, sort of, and then makes it his mission to... I don't know what I wrote there, but I know what the story is. But this is what I wrote. It's kind of funny. He has brought bake to bread. but wants to find the love of his life. What the fuck did I? He was brought back from the disease, essentially, and wants to find the love of his life. And every woman wants to fuck him because they want to procreate. They're worried about the population. Some of them are legitimately want to breed with them, and then some of them want to fuck him for entertainment. But he's in demand, and he won't have any of that. He wants to find the love of his life, so he makes a deal with the company that brought him back to life, the woman, and says, "You help me find the love of my life, and you guys can go on the mission with me." And it's basically her, the one who owns the corporation, somebody there to protect him, and a nurse to keep him healthy. And originally, you think the nurse is the young girl, like the child, and the older one is his protector because she's all big and healthy. And but it's the other way around. The nurse is the woman, and the child has superpowers, and she's there to protect him. So that's this story. It's very entertaining. So yeah, manga. We have Silver Surfer volume. I didn't write the volume. Oh, this is vol. I don't remember the volume, but it's the first Mike Allred Dan Slott series. So whatever volume that is. But this is about a young girl who loves her town as a little girl and makes a wish upon a falling star. That falling star live. Well, that falling star is the Silver Surfer later in the future. And it's why they have this like link together, but it's a place. There's this event that happens on this new world, and Silver Surfer is drawn there, and it's a place where the Nowhere Woman is being used to keep this planet alive, like this entertainment planet alive. They stole her heart to power the world, and it was hidden from Galactus, and Silver Surfer gets there and has to uncover this stuff and fight its protector and protect the young woman because she's on the planet too. And then we get Silver Surfer Annihilation, 1 through 4. This is again on my quest to adopt a character. We had The Wave. This is my second read through this one, whereas the Dan Slott one I hadn't read before. But the way th this is the Abnett and Landing. By the way, when we hit the Silver Surfer, we're in 5 out of 5s, which means I loved it. So the wave destroys the planet where Nova Corps comes from. A surfer tries to save Airwalker as the Seekers are hunting down heralds of Galactus and Galactus himself. The heralds unite with Galactus to fight the swarm. Meanwhile, Thanos is lending support to Annihilus, and Annihilus captures Terax, another herald of Galactus. It stars Fire Lord and some others as well. We have Inferior 5, the new DC, Volume 2, 3 and 4. It fleshes out more on the five kids. The new kid is told that number 5 does not last long and is pretty much killed. And one of the kids is a Durlan, which is a shapeshifter. It seems that Brother Power the Geek, which I love that comic for some reason, 2 issues in the 70s, it is with the aliens. The Tasmanian Devil, who you might remember from the Global Guardians, is in this comic book. It's such obscure DC references. He's being hunted down by Starro. Also, Peacemaker fights off KGB Beast and the Red Rockets in Russia while trying to get to the Dangerfield, Arizona, which is where these kids are. It might be the first appearance that I know of ability that Peacemaker has never done before. Peacemaker's vision of peace, like the spirit of vengeance stare. It is fantastic. From January 27th through February 2nd, That week, we have a total of 17 comics, one Vault, one Seven Seas, another manga, four Marvel, three Kickstarters, one Indie Planet, two Image, and five DC. The 4 out of 5 is the movie 1917, which is a World War I, kind of like a real filmed in real time. It's not really filmed in real time, but it's if the movie's 2 hours, then the movie took place in 2 hours. That's what I mean. But that was a good film. It was up for Academy Awards and all kinds of stuff. I don't think it was anywhere near as good as Joker, but your mileage may vary. So the 3 out of 5s we had Sahira Underworld Pimp Hustler. It's a Kickstarter. It's about a rapper, a female rapper in hell that wants to bring about hope, but the demons will have none of that. So it's kind of, if you like hell and a little bit of humor and like Ghost Rider, you might enjoy this Syria Underworld Pimp Hustler, 3 out of 5. We have Shadow Riders number 1. This is a Marvel UK book when they launched their Marvel UK line. This is Vorin brings back the dead to become Shadow Riders to fight Mystique and the Warheads, which each had their own Marvel UK title. Vorin and Boot get into scraps with Cable, and yes, they crossed over with our favorite Marvel characters. It was fast-paced action and not a lot of explanation for a number one issue, but it was fun. 3 out of 5 was our manga, and again from Seven Seas, we had Saki the Succubus, and this is about a young succubus that hooks up with a virgin, and they live in an apartment together. It's very unusual. I liked it, but I didn't like it enough to go beyond volume one. So the other manga that I did, this one, I was fine reading it and I was entertained, but I don't think I could take another volume of these two together. But I was entertained enough. We go to 4 out of 5s. We have Will of the Wisp, number 1 and 2. This is an Evolutionize Kickstarter, which I try to get in on those. Teenager and father move into a house they inherited when the wife slash mother died. The boy tries to find friends at the new school, and the neighbor is treating him badly, mostly because the uncle is trying to buy all the land, and that's the uncle of the boy and his father, well, the uncle of the boy. He was the brother to the his wife that died. He's kind of an asshole. The neighbor is trying to talk to a blue ghost like creators and become friends. He learns his mom had a relationship with the neighbor's mom, so they were bisexual. She was bisexual when they were younger. So it is a Kickstarter. I enjoyed the story. It looks like the relationship between the boy that moved and the neighbor boy, that they're either one of them's either bisexual or they're both gay. I don't know, but they seem to be forming some kind of relationship. So it's an interesting book. I really like it. I like the story. I like to see why there's these weird ghosts as well. We have Clown Man number 1, which I purchased off of Indie Planet based on a recommendation from Kirk Spencer. And this is a circus goes to a very bad part of town and they refuse to pay a criminal, so he slaughters the majority of the circus. Clown Man seeks revenge. And I was very entertained. Very much a 90s comic. Very fun to read. We have Man and Superman number 1. This is the Marv Wolfman like thick 80-page giant. Clark's first adventure in Metropolis as he tries to find a job as a reporter. He finally gets to talk with Lois and gets a job with the paper. Clark and Lois undercover a terrorist act in Metropolis cooked up by Lex Luthor. Very entertaining book. We have Songs of the Dead number 4 from Vault. And Clark's first adventure in Metropolis as he tries to find a job as a hunter. Oh, what am I talking about? I got a text and I got offline. Able to sell his book, so I charge the book with shipping and handling. I'm getting offers on from. Matter of fact, this is from Juan Haro, who owns a comic store in California. And he is a friend. So I might just, if shipping and handling's more from him, I might just go to Juan because I like Juan. So we'll see how all this pans out. There's a lot of people competing for my business, which is unusual. Because I don't want to buy anything else but that. But I want to be all in. So we'll see how that pans out. Sorry I fucked up there. I get distracted. Squirrel! Songs of the Dead, number 4. Elsar and Bethany meet with one of Elsar's friends, Barnaby. And Elsar's is the warrior woman. Bethany is the necromancer, to help decipher the map. He betrays Elsar, and she is stabbed, not before killing Barnaby. We find out that Elsnar is royalty and is attacked by an assassin who kills by using her powers. She then finds her friend dead and uses her powers, and it ends up with a cliffhanger. Interesting enough, there's no mention of the follow-up title, Necromancer's Map. But in Necromancer's Map, you do meet Elsar, and she's a ghost. So you don't get really the backstory of why Bethany is walking around with this dead ghost, and this is the backstory of it. That's what's cool about it. We have Yondu number 1 and 2. The current Yondu is going to meet up with a friend and finds an urn that has cosmic power because it is the ashes of the first herald, the Forgotten One. The bounty is on Yondu's trail, and Yondu from the future is back to help his relative in this adventure. And Yondu in the future is really the Yondu that was in, like, Mark Silvestri's, not Mark Silvestri, Jim Valentino's Guardians of the Galaxy. So, and one of the original Guardians of the Galaxy even before that series. She then finds a bounty hunter is on Yondu's trail, and Yondu from the future is back to help his relative in this adventure. He goes to his ex-girlfriend to help him sell the urn, and she is killed by the bounty hunter Savruk. This series was surprisingly really good. So from Will of the Wisp all the way to Yondu that I talked about, those are 4 out of 5s, which mean I really enjoyed it. So then we get into the 5 out of 5s, and there were a lot. We have from Image Comics, which I don't know if I wrote that down. Yeah, 2 comics. Undiscovered Country, number 1 and 2. This is by Charles Soule and Scott Snyder. Really good series. DC, the USA builds a wall, a shield around itself, kind of like current times, but the rest of the world is dealing with an outbreak that is going to slaughter everyone. A team is invited to the US to get the cure, but find the US is divided into sections, and one area looks like scenes from the Road Warrior. They meet up with a guy that saves the majority of the group, who looks like Uncle Sam. The pilot is captured by the Road Warrior group and loses his foot. This was awesome series. We got. And this, it's kind of like reality, what's happening in the real world, which is kind of scary in this dystopian tale of the future. We got the Deep movie adaptation. I never saw the movie, but I so love the comic book that I want to watch the movie. Maybe this weekend if I don't go see Bloodshot. In the 40s, a World War II merchant ship goes down with weapons and morphine, but it sits atop a treasure that several divers discover. The local gang does not want them there because the weapons and the morphine. So it's really like an underwater adventure, where they're after a jewel, but it. They're also there's one group after the morphine that's in that World War II merchant ship, but the divers end up in this adventure looking for the this actual coin that leads them to a treasure because of a romantic relationship that happened during this time frame. We have Lolo Woods number one. From Hill House DC Comics. These 5 out of 5. Just give all of Hill House 5 out of 5. It's so good. Lolo Woods. Two girls find themselves in a movie theater and don't remember what the hell happened to them. They fell asleep. And they don't remember the movie. They just remember getting there. There's like mud on their shoes. There's all kinds of weird shit. They go to talk to the kid and they're like, that's an usher, and he's got this weird smirk on his face, but he's also got a face of fear, and they're like, "What the fuck, dude? What happened?" And he doesn't tell them shit. They're close friends that live in a town where women are forgetting things, and men are mostly sick because they from working in the mines. A very strange mystery as a girl is having a relationship with another girl. That's the one of the girls that's in the theater is having a relationship with another girl. And at the end, it appears to have created a black hole in her body. It was very unusual. And I don't remember how that resolved. Because in the second issue, I don't think they mentioned that other girl. But we have Dollhouse Family number 1 and 2, another fabulous one, 5 out of 5. A family receives an old dollhouse from an aunt to give to their daughter. The mom is being abused by the dad. Over the course of the years, the girl appears to be able to shrink down to doll size and spend time with the doll family. The black room convinces her. There's this room in the dollhouse that's called the black room, and that black room convinces this girl she must kill her dad in order to save her mother, who's being abused by the father. She does kill him with a hammer, and then the mom takes the blame, so she grows up in an orphanage because the mom goes to jail. The house is trying to convince her to kill others who are a threat to her. She retreats into the dollhouse when things are rough, and this story just goes batshit crazy. It's amazing. All very scary, all very good. Dark books. Daphne Byrne, my favorite. In the 1800s, a woman and daughter lose the husband and father. They loved him so much. The wife loved her husband. The daughter thought of her, the world of her father. When he passes, they struggle to exist mentally and financially. The mom starts to see a medium to contact the dead, but the daughter is smart enough to know that she's a fake. The daughter goes to sleep that night and is taking to a young man with zombies that says he can bring back her father if she slaughters a pig. And then she wakes up from this nightmare and there's blood on her hands. And you don't know why. And later on in the next issue, the housemaid thinks she just became a woman. In other words, had her period. But I don't think that's the case. So that wraps up the books for that week. We got one more week to go, 1 3-week thing. We have February 3rd through February 9th. We will start at the bottom. There were a total of 27 comics. One from Yen, which was manga. I was doing pretty good on manga this month. Marvel 7, DC 16, Charlton 1, Boom 1, Ablaze 1. A lot of movies I watched. The 4 out of 5s were Ma, Birds of Prey, and the new Birds of Prey, The Emancipation of Harlequin. I thought it was a great movie. Ma was a great horror house, Bloom House movie. It's really good. And then the upside was Cranston, true st based on a true story about a man that's paralyzed from the neck down, and he's taken care of by someone that's on the wrong side of the tracks and has gone to prison before. Very good movie. I wanted to see that one at the theater, but never got around to it. We'll start at the 3 out of 5. So we have Silver Surfer Weapon Zero, a Marvel image. I give it credit to the Marvel because the Marvel name was first. This is part 8, which was a bummer because I didn't have all the other parts, so it was a weird event. In the Top Cow Marvel crossover, and it was confusing getting into it without the context, but Mephisto is making himself as a false prophet in the Top Cow universe. Surfer, Weapon Zero, Psyblade, and Heatwave stop him, but Heatwave has to make the ultimate sacrifice. We have a manga called Toilet Bound Hanako-kun, Volume 1. Supernatural being that haunts girls' toilets. A young girl gives up her soul to get the boy of her dreams, but he does not really give her any of that shit, and she has to remain his slave. It's a weird, like, hey, a genie saying, "I'll grant you your wish if you come with me," and he thinks he grants her a wish, but it's not really anything. She got nothing. There are seven supernatural things in the school, and it got really confusing. I liked the beginning of this manga. I thought it had potential, but as it went on, I just got really confused. I won't be buying volume 2 of Toilet Bound Hanako-kun, but I did enjoy it. I was attracted to the title. It just sounded so fucking unusual. We have from DC Comics, Genlock number 2. The group is captured in Japan, but later freed by one of their members. This one I like more than Ruby. Those are the two unusual series that are based on anime and games, I guess. And Genlock, I seem to like quite a bit more. Even though it's in that 3 out of 5 range, if I had to pick one, I'd pick Genlock. We have Unsacred from Ablaze. It's based on a comic strip and the story of an angel and a demon in a romantic relationship they met when they were babies. They still have not had sex because the angel, is waiting for marriage, but it's written like a comic strip. In other words, you get four panels, and then that's page one, and then another four panels, but it's a comic strip with an ongoing thread, so I was entertained. We have the last 3 out of 5, Larfleeze number 1 and 2. This was from DC New 52, I believe, or maybe it was when DCU was coming out, but Larfleeze had his own title. Larfleeze has lost everything and is going to kill himself and his servant Starblazer, who is a Kaluian, and that is what Brainiac 5 is in real docs. He tells supposedly his origin story and then fights a god called Lord, kind of like Lord. I don't know. He is supposedly killed, but Starblazer finds him in a vat of bodies. Also learn that Larfleeze rings. May not ring may not have to be charged like we originally thought. We get into the 4 out of 5s. We have Alpha Flight 119. This is the Wrecking Crew are trashing Toronto. Canada is trying to start a registration act for heroes. Wrecker is trying to regain leadership from Thunderball. An organization was hired that actually hired the Wrecking Crew to cause the chaos in Toronto. And at the very end, it looks like the crew escapes. Weapon Omega group shows up at the end as well. A lot going on. It was a bit to jump into. I found this in a dollar bin, and God, I'm a sucker for the Wrecking Crew. I think they're so damn fun. Fun, I would say. And I think they iconically look awesome. Like, I think they did come out with some action figures, and if I could find those four action figures, along with Absorbing Man, I would be like, wow, they would be great to put together. They just look iconically awesome. They're like the junkyard dudes of comics. I kind of dig it. We have Starbrand number 1. This was Jim Shooter's attempt to launch a new universe. And an alien grant, this is Marvel's Green Lantern. An alien grants Starbrand to an adventure seeker, which grants him powers, and he is hunted down by an alien who wants to take the brand. What I mean by brand, it's the brand on his hand. It introduces his girlfriend and his best friend, some JRJR art, and Jim Shooter's story. I liked it quite a bit. We have Future Foundation number 4, a final battle where Bucky, and this is the Bucky, the Liefeld Bucky that came out around the when Liefeld and Jim Lee came over to Marvel. She's a female. Where Bucky and the Maker, or a clone of the Maker, end up fighting and ejected from the ship. They are fighting over an orb that contains part of a Molecule Man. That's what's also fun about the series is I loved Molecule Man a lot, especially when it came out of Secret Wars. I really dug him. We have Lost Jungle Tales number 1. This is a Kickstarter I supported. It's an unpublished catgirl story where she loses her friend to the Black Queen who wants to steal her essence. Catgirl transforms and is triumphant, but does lose her friend. A Jungle Jack story where he and his partner have to take down a rich woman who likes to hunt animals in a biplane. Another Jungle Jack story where he and a little boy have to protect an elephant from an evil man who's hunting and likes to hurt elephants. This felt a lot like Tarzan stuff, and Jungle Jack's was pretty awesome. I really enjoyed that. I think I enjoyed it more than the Cat Girl, but I do love Jungle Comics. We have Ringo Kid number 1. This is, I don't have many Marvel Westerns, but this is one of them. And he's part Native American and part white. The Ringo Kid stops an invasion on a fort. He takes down Flip Cullen, a bandit who is trying to raid a Mormon caravan because he thinks they have gold, but it's just a religious group going along. He takes on a man called Leech because he went mad after he thinks someone killed his lover coming over a wagon, but he ended up killing her accidentally. And Ringo Kid had to take him down. And then the story of a bank robber who is saving to become a rich man, and on his last job, he is killed. It was a very entertaining Western. Very entertaining. Those three stories in it. I'd like to pick up some more Ringo Kid. Heartbreak number 1. This is from Boom. Maria Lovett. I love her art. This it. I don't usually. I'm not an art. I'm more story guy than I'm an art guy, but man, anything with her I'm gonna buy. It's a story of a girl raised by her mom, and they have a lot of money, but she's working very hard to. They don't have a lot of money. Her mom is broke, but she's kind of like on scholarships and trying to pay for this really well school. And the girl witnesses a murder, and then you don't know what that's going to do to her situation in the school. We have Tarzan from DC, also an adopted character, 208 through 210. I've been on a Star Wars, I mean a Star Wars, a Tarzan kick. Been watching a lot of movies, bought some cartoons lately. The origin told through the guide who tells it to a woman looking for her father. She basically telling the origin story of Tarzan shows the loss of his ape mother and him learning about being a man rather than an ape. It saves many people, including Jane, her soon-to-be husband, and a French captain who teaches him how to communicate and speak French. So there, the guy who's the asshole was gonna marry Jane. And he's the villain. I always forget his name, but he's the dick in the Tarzan stories. He also finds he might be Lord Greystoke from the fingerprints in his own di in his parents' diary that he found. We then get into the 5 out of 5s. There's common theme here. Silver Surfer, Volume 6, Number 4. Surfer takes Dawn back to Earth and is confronted by the Guardians of a Galaxy as they approach Earth. Surfer is treated to room and a meal by Dawn's family, mostly her father, but her sister's there as well. But when he goes to leave Earth, he finds he is trapped. I'm really enjoying this Silver Surfer story, this volume. It's weird because I read the first one a long time ago when it came out, and I was like, this ain't for me. I'm stopping, and then I love it now. So I just needed to sit on it for a while. Dr. Fate Volume 2, Number 1, continued from the previous mini, and Eric and Linda are learning how to be Fate with the help of Nabu, who is now in the dead body of Kent Nelson. They take on a rich guy who summons demons, and they destroy the demons, all except one, and he's a good demon and pretty much morphs himself into their dog, but when he's not seen with other people, he's back to being the demon. Also, Andrew Bennett, who's Eye Vampire, shows up at the end. It's very weird how the mother seems to want to get romantic with her stepson, and that's Eric and Linda. It's very bizarre. We had Dr. Fate Volume 1, Number 1 through 4, which kind of takes us into the Volume 2, but it's the end of Kent Nelson having the mantle. He passes it on to a young boy who's now aged, so he went from boy to a grown-ass man. Eric Strauss and his stepmom, Linda Strauss, that's a weird relationship because she's the stepmother who married an abusive rich guy and bonded with the child, and now they're going to be Dr. Fate together. And it seems like she loves him, and he's like, what the fuck? You're my mom. Stoner steals the helmet. And his name is Stoner. He's not like a pot smoker. Stoner steals the helmet and gauntlet with Typhoon, but they are eventually defeated. It talks about how powerful Fate is and that he has to be controlled by two people. And the only reason Kent was able to do it was because it was a relationship with his wife. Inza, I think, was his wife. I can't remember if that was her name or not. Basket Full of Heads, 2 through 4. Amazing series. This is actually written by Joe Hill. The girl is captured, 5 out of 5. All this from Silver Surfer up, 5 out of 5. The girl is captured in the house by one of the inmates and told that her boyfriend is taking the rest of the criminals to the money in which he found. He basically he was the deputy, the young deputy, that was kind of like on a college break, with his girlfriend, and he saw that a girl had committed suicide while he was a deputy. She uses the Viking axe, this is the his current girlfriend, to cut off the head of the criminal, and as he's chasing her, she eventually gets the upper hand, cuts off his head, and he magically stays alive as a head. She also does this to the other guy, who finds out she is carrying the basket with the head, and he tries to kill her for some odd reason, and he's just driving a pickup truck. It's very crazy, very creepy, and now she has two heads in her basket. We have Lolo Woods Number 2. The girls try and find out why they passed out in the theater. It gives some backstory about the girls when they were young and some of the information on the town and their parents. We have Dollhouse Family Number 3. It takes place way in the future where the little girl has a daughter of her own now, and she's trying to protect her daughter from the black room and the dollhouse because remember, she went to the black room and had to kill her father. It gives more backstory on the origin of the dollhouse with the giant and the demon from the cave. I didn't mention that in the original last week reading, but there is that backstory that's sort of giving the history of the dollhouse, but we haven't gotten there yet. But you're getting an idea of why it's haunted. So, just covering what I've covered, we have the 5 out of 5s were Silver Surfer, Volume 6, Number 4, Dr. Fate Volume 2, Number 1, Dr. Fate Volume 1, Number 1 through 4, Basketful of Heads 2 through 4, The Lolo Woods Number 2, and Dollhouse Family Number 3. The 5 out of 5s for the previous week, very similar. Undiscovered Country 1 through 2, The Deep Marvel Movie Adaptation Number 1, Lolo Woods Number 1, Dollhouse Family Number 1 and 2, Daphne Byrne Number 1. And finally, the last set of 5 out of 5s were Silver Surfer, Volume 6, Number 1 through 3. That's the Adlard and Dan Slott. Number 1 through 3, Silver Surfer Annihilation, 1 through 4, a reread of that. And DC Comics' brand new Inferior 5 series, which has been delayed again, unfortunately. But I want to thank you for listening and putting up with me and my rambling. You can find me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's where you can send email, send questions. On the Twitter, feel free to send me questions. I will answer them. As you can see, they're a big part of this show. So if you send me them, it makes the show more entertaining. It gives me more to ramble about. I am at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter, also a fantastic way to get a hold of me. Follow me there. And we're on Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button. Follow us on Facebook. See all the episode threads there. And finally, the website is geekbrunchpodcast.com, where you can find Mike M's Weekly Reads, Mike M's Collector's Corner, Geek Brunch, Geek Brunch Retro. And I want to thank you for listening, and peace out. Enjoy your comics.